This is Grow in Grace, a daily teaching ministry of Palmetto Baptist Church in Greenville, South Carolina. The Almighty, righteous, and holy God, creator and sustainer of everything, loves us. He revealed himself in creation, but is more fully revealed in his word. The word of God reveals our unrighteousness and points us back to God through the gospel. Today, Pastor Sam Horn will begin a sermon titled, Sola Scriptura, The Authority of the Bible. Let's listen together so we can grow in grace.
Let me ask you to turn to two texts. We looked at the text in Psalm 119, but I'd also like you to turn to the book of Isaiah, chapter 55. And while you're turning there, I want to recount an experience that's been going on in my life for the last maybe month and a half as I've been working my way through a brief biography on the life of a missionary and his family that came up from this country, first missionary to be sent out from the shores of this country more than 200 years ago. He and his wife boarded a ship and made their way to the country of Burma. And they spent their entire life there ministering. Adoniram Judson and his wife gave their entire life as they left the shores of this country. They had no idea what would wait for them there. They had no idea of the intensity of the ministry that God would call them to accomplish for him. They had no idea of the sacrifices that would be called upon from them to bring the gospel to people who had not heard it before. Adoniram's wife would give her entire life there. She would actually die and be buried there. Five children that Adoniram had would be buried in India, and eventually he would give his life as well. And so there is no surprise, as you look back on a life like that, that the thousands, literally the tens of thousands and even hundreds of thousands of people that were impacted by the effect of that couple and the message they brought would be thankful for them. And so in 1913, the Baptist Association in Burma at the time, now Myanmar, erected a monument by a prison where Adoniram Judson had been in prison for more than a year, almost a year. A horrific place. It is literally, many scholars believe, what cost Ann, his first wife, her life. And he spent unbearable suffering there for the sake of the gospel. And that became known to the world. That became known to the people that became believers as a consequence of his sacrifice there. And so in 1913, they erected a massive stone monument honoring the sacrifice that the Judsons made, and they put it on the grounds of where that prison had stood. So I'm reading this biography. My heart is being stirred. I love the story of Adoniram Judson. I admire his courage. I admire his commitment. There's so many things about his life that I wish were true about my own. And so he just, from time to time, surfaces in my mind, and I pull a biography or two off my shelf on his life, and I make my way through it. And as I came to the end of this biography, I read something that I'd never read before, I'd never heard before, in the story of Adoniram Judson. In 1913, this monument was erected, this massive stone commemorating Adoniram's sacrifice and Anne's sacrifice, and there was commemorative words that were put there. And the intent of the stone was that the people of Burma would never forget the gospel that had come to them because of these two amazing people. Well, in 2010, the author of the chapter in this book made his way to that same location hunting for that stone. And he had heard about this in some research that he had done. This is not mentioned in many, many places. And so he made his way to Burma, and now Myanmar, and asked the people there if they could take him to the location where the prison once stood, that prison is gone, because he wanted to see the stone. And when he got there and he started asking about the stone, nobody knew what he was talking about. The stone has completely disappeared. But there was an old man who remembered. And he was over by a tree, and he was motioning the translator to come over. And when the author of the chapter came over with the translator, the old man began to tell the story of how, as a young boy, he used to come and see the stone. But as the regime changed, and as a government hostile to the gospel and hostile to Christianity came, they buried the stone deep. They tried to destroy the stone. They tried to remove the stone, but it was too big to destroy. It was too heavy to be moved, and so they buried it. And the old man stood, and he pointed down to the dirt, and he said, I'm going to die soon, but I don't want people to forget what happened here. And he looked at the author and he said, one day when this country is free, promise me that you will come and you will dig here and you will dig up the stone. And I sat kind of in the chair I was reading this in, and I thought to myself, how do you lose a stone of that importance? And then as I was preparing for our series, Five Truths That Changed the World, how do you lose these truths? 1,500 years after Christ stood in front of his disciples and gave them the immense and beautiful reminder of his death and his burial that we are to observe in commemoration of what he has done, 15 years later, all of that was lost. And in Martin Luther's day, if you'd have gone to church and you had taken communion the way that we took it this morning, you would have had a very different experience. You would have believed very different things about what we did this morning. You would have believed, for example, that in that communion, Jesus Christ was being crucified again and again and again. You would have believed that his physical body was in that piece of bread that you were taking. You would have believed that his physical blood was in the cup that the priest alone took. You would have believed that somehow in taking that bread and participating in that religious ceremony, grace was imparted to you. Salvation was in some way gifted to you. And so how did we lose the gospel? How did we lose the grace of God? And 1,500 years later, there was a monk, and God said to him, I want you to dig here. And the place where Martin Luther dug to find all that had been lost and to recover it and to reestablish it in the church was in the pages of this book that you hold in your hand. And that's where we get the five truths that change the world. These truths recovered for us a proper view of God. They literally put God in his place. And we call that particular truth solo Deo gloria, to God be glory alone. This puts God in his proper place. This puts truth in its proper place. This puts Christ in its proper, or in his proper place. So Luther, when he dug down into the scripture, he discovered and recovered a proper view of God. He recovered a proper view of Jesus in the gospel. And so as you think about the five truths, three of those truths relate to this thing, this idea that Luther recovered, a proper view of Jesus in the gospel. And it's articulated this way, solo gratia, by grace alone. Sola fide, through faith alone. Solus Christus, in Christ alone. And then as Luther continued to dig down, he recovered a proper view of the final authority of Scripture, the supreme and final authority of Scripture, sola scriptura. And that's what we want to look at this morning as we look at our, as we continue our journey through these truths that change the world, sola scriptura. What is it about our Bible that makes it the final authority that we use for all matters of faith and practice in our life? Well, first of all, it's the final authority because of who gave it. It is God's words. It's the final authority because of its nature. But it's also the final authority because of what it does. And that's why I wanted you to turn to Isaiah 55, verses 10 through 11. Let me read it to you this way. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose, and it will succeed in the thing for which I sent it. This Bible that you and I hold in our hand possesses an astonishing property. There's an astonishing property that our Bible has that no other book has. And the reason it has this property is because it is the Word of God. It brings forth, it produces life. When rain and snow fall upon the earth and water the ground, that rain and snow provide for life to happen. And when the Word of God comes and falls in our life, when we sit under its preaching, when we sing its truths to one another, when we pray the scripture to one another, when we sit under its preaching, it's like rain, it's like water that God brings into our life, God brings into our soul, and it enhances what is going on internally so that the Word of God can bring forth life. You know how you and I were saved? We were saved by the Word of God. You and I are transformed. How do we grow in grace? We grow in grace because of the Word of God. The Word of God possesses an astonishing property. It produces life. But it has an amazing power. It doesn't just produce life. It actually imparts life. It's like rain. And it's like snow that come down from heaven and water the earth and make it sprout. But if you stop and think about it, rain, water, snow, whatever form it comes, does not have the ability to make a seed grow. All it can do is create the conditions, provide what is necessary for life to happen. But the Word of God, like rain and snow, provides all of the necessary things that are needful for eternal life and godliness to happen in our life, but it actually does something more. It actually can do things that rain and snow cannot. It actually imparts life to the believer. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return, but water the earth and make it bring forth and sprout, there is a sense in which God's word has amazing power beyond anything that rain or snow could have. Think about how God created the world. In the book of Hebrews chapter 1, we are told that when God spoke, the world came into existence. Think about how the world is sustained. He sustains it by his word, the word of his power in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3. How does he call people to salvation and grant them eternal life? John 10. Verses 27 and 28, my sheep hear my voice. And in verse 28, I give them eternal life. My sheep hear my voice and follow me, and I give to them eternal life. By his word, he justifies us and declares us righteous. In Romans chapter 8, verse 30, those he calls, he justifies. And those he justifies, he glorifies. And through his word, he sanctifies those he has called, and he makes them righteous through the word that is truth. Sanctify them with thy truth. Thy word is truth. That is what Jesus said in John chapter 17. And so this book that Luther dug down in, and when he dug down into the soil, he found things. He found a book that had an astonishing property. He found a book that contained an amazing power. And he found a book that accomplishes the awesome purposes of life. The awesome purposes of God for life. Through this book, life prospers. So shall my word be that goes from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but it will accomplish that which I purpose. It will succeed in the thing for which I sent it. These words that Luther dug down in give us clarity about life. They enable us to come to purity in life, and they give us security throughout our life. When Luther dug down in the soil of God's word, when he dug down in the dirt of Scripture, he was digging in the right place, and he recovered what had been lost. In Luther's day, if you wanted salvation, you had to go to the church to get it. If you wanted security, you had to earn it. If you wanted forgiveness, you had to go to the priest to get it. Until one day, a young monk started digging, and he dug down into the soil of God's word, and he found a rock, and the rock was Jesus. And he brought that rock forward, and he reestablished it, not just as the center of the church, but as its head. And he did all of this on the basis of a book that has these properties. And that brings me to this. If this book is what it is, if when Luther dug down into the soil of that dirt and he recovered these amazing truths, and he established them on the foundation of the Word of God. This is one of the reasons why this truth that we're talking about today, sola scriptura, is called the formal principle of the Reformation. There is a material principle we're going to talk about, which is by grace alone. That's what the discussion was all about. That, you know, if you want to know what materially the Reformation was dealing with, it was dealing with how do we get saved, and on what basis. But if you wanted to know where the authority for the discussion lay, there were two opinions about that. There were a whole bunch of people looking at Luther and saying, well, we actually believe that you're wrong, and here are the sources for which we are going to get our belief. And Luther said, as helpful as some of those people might be, there is only one authority that can speak to that. And it is God, and he wrote it down. And so formally, the Reformation rested on this one idea, that the Scripture alone has the right to settle with all finality any matter related to what we believe and how that belief needs to shape our life. And that's why later, as people started trying to figure out how to articulate this idea, they would say that the Scripture is the final authority for faith, for what we believe, and for practice, for how we behave. And in Luther's day, you would not have agreed with that statement. You would have said, well, the Bible is just one of the voices that gets to tell us that. We have to think about what the church fathers said. We have to think about what the Pope thinks about that. And so as you kind of discuss this with us, Luther, maybe you can get where you're going out of the Bible, but you haven't talked at all about what the church fathers say, and you haven't at all said what the Pope thinks about this. And Luther says, with all due respect to the church fathers, and you kind of know what I think about the Pope anyway, we're going to go only to this source. It is in the soil that I've been digging in. It's been in the soil of the Scripture that I have found a rock. And I'm going to build everything on that rock. It's going to be the foundation for everything. And as believers who rest on what Luther and the other reformers did, we can never forget that. You want to know how we are going to lose these five truths again as a church? We will lose these five truths as a church We'll lose them individually as believers when we move away from the foundation that Luther and the reformers reestablished. And I'm using the word recover and reestablish because it's not like they invented them. It's not like they thought this up and all of a sudden in 1500, we're starting something brand new. They're actually digging down into the history of God's people and into the soil of God's word, and they have found the foundation stone upon which everything else rests, and it is the authority of the word of God. Now, if you believe that, here are three things that have to happen in your life. Number one, there is an importance you must accord or give to the Bible. There is an importance that you must accord to the Bible. You need to understand its foundational nature in your life. It's got to be the bedrock upon which you stand. This book answers every major question that you and I have about life, and it answers those questions definitively. Where did we come from? You know, you sit in classrooms like I did at the university where I spent the first year of my academic training. I got a different answer than Genesis 1. If you go to the biology teachers that are around our country and you ask them, well, how did all of this come to be? You're going to get a very different answer than what you read in Genesis 1 and 2 and in other places in the scripture like Hebrews 1. And at some point, you're going to have to decide, where is the foundation upon which I'm going to stand? And so Luther recovered for us a foundational stone, and then you've got to experience the effect of that foundational truth in your life. This scripture is the source of our eternal life. Listen to what Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 1. You have been born again. And you ought to hold on to that. I mean, that ought to be your testimony. You have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable. Well, Peter, what in the world are you talking about? Peter said, I'm thinking back to what Isaiah said. You have been born again, not of perishing seed, but of imperishable seed through the living and abiding word of God. And it is this word that the good news was preached to you by. I mean, this book is the source of your eternal life. It is the means for growing in grace in that life. 2 Timothy 3 15, Paul says to Timothy, from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. And then he goes on and he says, now these same scriptures that led you to Christ are profitable for growth in spiritual life, for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training. If I'm going to give it the importance that it merits, it can't just be the foundational piece of my life. I can't just have experienced its life-giving effects. At the end of the day, it's got to have governing authority over my life. It's how the lordship of Jesus Christ is determined. My submission to that word. Listen to Jesus in Luke chapter 6. Why do you call me Lord and do not do the things that I command you to do? That's a really powerful question, isn't it?
Thank you, Pastor Sam. We'll continue this sermon next time on Grow in Grace. Today's speaker, Dr. Sam Horn, is the pastor for preaching and vision at Palmetto Baptist Church. PBC meets at 2730 Anderson Road, Greenville, South Carolina. If you live locally, come join us for a morning worship service at 9 or 10:45 a.m. You can find us online at pbcpowdersville.org. If you'd like more information about Palmetto or this sermon series, reach out to radio@pbcpowdersville.org. Thanks for listening. Join us again next time so together we can grow in grace.